If you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 139, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I'm going to read 13 through 18. If you would go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word, and after that we will pray, and then you can be seated. Psalm 139, 13 through 18. This is what it says. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continence were fashioned, when as ye there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you tonight, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you will take your word. I ask, Lord, that you will take this message. And Lord, I pray that it will prick the hearts of everyone here, everyone listening by internet, everyone by radio. Lord, I ask you that you will not allow me to say anything, Lord, that I would not need to say. And Lord, I just pray that you will use me, Lord, one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a couple other verses as well. I'm going to read them fast because we've got a lot of ground to cover. Jeremiah 1:5. If you can turn fast enough, you can follow along. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest from out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then Psalm 71:6, by thee I have been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And then in Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, in he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. You see, there is no accident. You are not an accident. God put you here for a reason and for a purpose. And God Himself is the one that formed you before you were even born. You are a person created in the image of God. According to God's word, you are undeniably a person before you were born. And according to the founding documents of this great nation, in the Declaration of Independence, you have inalienable rights that were given by the Creator, by God Almighty. And those rights were not given by the United States of America. Those rights were given by God, and nobody can take those rights away. You see, you have the right to life and to liberty, and nobody can take that away from you. And that's really the basis of the sermon tonight, of what I'm going to talk about. Because knowing that, and knowing what our founding fathers said, how did we get to where we are today? I'm going to ask if you would go ahead and put that clock up when you get a chance, and you can look at that. How did we get where we did today in America? Since Roe v. Wade, since the Supreme Court decision on that case, over 60 million babies have been murdered. And I didn't say aborted. Because, see, this is what we do. We as Christians, we whitewash the reality of what happens. And tonight, I'm going to give you the facts of the matter. I'm going to give you exactly what happens. But it is indeed murder. In addition, over 18 million black babies have been murdered since 1973. And if you do the numbers on that, the ratio doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. So how did we get here? How did we get here? And I'm going to go back quite a number of years. And it was right after Darwin came up with his brilliant, ungodly, godless idea of something called evolution. And what happened during that period of time is Christians got on board with this concept. Believe it or not, they got on board with it. And this is what they did. They came up, they couldn't really say, you know, it all evolved from nothing. We're going to say God did it, but he made it evolve. See, what happens is Christians compromise the Word of God. That's what happens. And every time that happens, the church becomes more and more insignificant. See, the fact of the matter is God was really, really clear on this one. This is a no-brainer. I could be a Peter up here because Peter was a fisherman and he wasn't real bright. And that's where I'm coming from. See, I can go to Genesis 1 and it says God created the heavens and the earth. Number one, God did it. Okay? It didn't evolve from nothing. Secondly, on every single day, on 6 days, God talks about what he created every day. And then at the end of that, you know what he says? On the first day was a morning and night, and that was the first day. He defined what the day was. So people out there, churches out there, and there are Baptist churches out there with pastors out there that say, you know what? I believe in theistic evolution. I believe it was God, but he just took a really long time to do it. Well, if you believe that, you don't believe the Word of God. So get out of the pulpit and quit preaching that, and quit preaching. You see, that's where it started. And what also came along during that period of time is a worldview that denied God as the creator. Some of this ideology, it came from a staunch supporter of Darwin, of evolution. And she was also really big into eugenics and an outspoken white supremacist. Now, I've been called that before. I really didn't know what that meant for a long time because I was called it, and I'll tell you a little secret. There's no way I can be a white supremacist because I'm actually an American Indian, but a lot of people don't know that. This white supremacist name was Margaret Sanger, who actually got her worldview from a guy named Charles Darwin. And she was basically one of his disciples. Sound familiar? Margaret Sanger founded an organization called Planned Parenthood. Y'all heard of that organization, I'm sure. And what she was into, she was in population control of certain minority races. Because at the same time, her organization was funded by the same organization that introduced another gentleman to the scene during that period of time. His name was Adolf Hitler. Anybody recognize that name? And it was a concept to eliminate certain races of people. And here's her thought process. She maintained that the brains of Australian Aborigines were only one step more evolved from chimpanzees. Now, this is what she says. It's in writing. And they're just under blacks, Jews, and Italians. She opened clinics in black communities with the goal of eliminating blacks in America. To this day, the greatest number of abortion clinics that can be found will be found in black communities across America. Planned Parenthood has also thrived in these locations. I'm going to go to Leviticus 18:21. Leviticus 18:21. And this is what it says. And thou shalt not let any of the seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shall they profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. What this was talking about, it was talking about Baal worship. During that period of time, and one of the problems is Israel kept getting involved in Baal worship. Baal worship was a practice of child sacrifice, where they would take a baby and place him on a burning altar of this god called Moloch. And he would hold out his hands, and this thing was on fire. And they would take the baby, and they would place the baby in the hands of this god. And the baby would discrimish with pain, because the baby was, the flesh was being burnt, was melting away from the baby. And in during that time, that period, the baby's face would grimace, and it looked like a smile. So you know what they thought? They thought that it was a smile to the god of Baal. That's pretty disgusting, isn't it? You go to verse 30 or 24 and see what 24 says. This is what it says. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. It was a list, and one of them was Baal worship. The nations are defiled which I cast out before you. Okay, let me help you with that. Again, I'm putting in something I can understand. This is what God said. If you defile me in this way, I will cast you out. I will destroy your nation if you do this. Then I want to go to another book, and it's Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. And again, it talks about Baal worship. And it says this in verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch. Again, it's child sacrifice is what it's referring to. Which I commanded them not, neither come into my mind, that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Israel got involved in this, and God took Israel out. He took and scattered Israel abroad. And one of the reasons was very specifically because of this abominable sin. You see, it's idol worship or child sacrifice. Now let's just take that and compare it to America for just a moment. You see, the idol worship in America is really not any different, because we also do child sacrifice. We say, whoa, we don't do that. I mean, we don't like burn babies alive. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And see, the God is money. It's the God of convenience. It's the God of covering a sin. That's what it is. See, the lives of 60 million babies have been snuffed out with 370,000 abortions by Planned Parenthood last year alone. Look at this counter up here. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of small. But I'm going to give you some numbers on it. Today, over 1,984 babies have been murdered to abortion today alone. It is a counter on abortion. I'll give you an idea of how many babies that Planned Parenthood has snuffed out last year. And I gave this description before, but if you ever went to a UF game and it was a packed out crowd of 90-some thousand people, if you can imagine every seat in that stadium was a baby, and you multiply that by four, that's how many babies have been murdered by Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood cannot accept money for abortions. So the federal government funds Planned Parenthood. They just say that they don't fund abortions. Now, I'm not really sure how that works, because there's no separate entities. It's Planned Parenthood. And then they say, okay, we're not using the money for abortions. We'll just use this money for abortions. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. In fact, it's absolutely a joke. A couple years ago, in fact, I know the individual that did this, and he's paid an awesome, unbelievable price for this. It was an organization that he worked for called Center for Medical Progress. They began releasing undercover videos where Planned Parenthood officials at high levels were selling aborted baby parts. And this is what they were doing. I'm going to give you some examples, descriptions of some of the videos that were played. Dr. Deborah Nkutalata, she was a Planned Parenthood committed on baby crushing. And this is what she said. This is in the videos. Okay, I'm not like just quoting this because it's hearsay. It's a video that somebody went undercover in Planned Parenthood and got this information out and actually played it. And this is what she said. We've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver because we know that it's not going to crush that part. I mean, I'm going to basically crush below and I'm going to crush above. I'm just not going to... I'm going to make sure that I can get as much as I can fully intact. They're selling baby parts is what they're doing. In the second video, Dr. Mary Gatter joked, I want a Lamborghini. And what she was doing, she was negotiating the price for the baby parts. Another doctor, Dr. Sava Jindi, stated, we don't want to just have a flat fee per baby like $200. A per item thing works a little better just because we can see how much we can get out of it. Again, and then she was laughing as she was holding a plate of baby kidneys. Do you understand this is in America? Do you get your head around that's in America? The most brutal regimes. Let's look at Hitler for one moment. He gassed 6 million Jews. We've killed 60 million babies. 10 times the amount. And then these videos go on. Melissa Farrell, this is in Houston, Planned Parenthood. She was bragging on the skill of obtaining intact fetal cadavers, that's the entire babies, and how her research department contributes so much to the bottom line of her organization. And they're one of the largest affiliates of research department and it's largest in the United States. She's bragging about that. See, it's illegal to do this, but nobody's gone to jail. Holly O'Donnell described technicians take fetal parts without patient consent. And she says, there are times when we would just take what we wanted. These mothers didn't know. I mean, there's no way they would. End of quote. And one of the ones that's the most disturbing to me is Holly O'Donnell describes a harvesting or procurement of organs from a nearly intact late-term fetus aborted at a Planned Parenthood in San Jose, California. And this is what she said, quote, hey, you want to see some kind of something really cool? O'Donnell says her supervisor asked her. And then she taps the heart of an aborted baby, and the baby's heart just starts beating. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this fetus, and its heart beating, and I don't know what to think. Another video, Planned Parenthood medical director is discussing the company's sale of fully intact aborted babies. And he was including one where he quoted saying, hey, one just fell out of the womb. Hearts, another video, they're discussing the sale of hearts, eyes, and other parts of aborted babies. And it goes on and on. There were over 14 of these videos that just goes on and on about the sale of a baby parts. This is absolutely no different than sacrificing children to Baal. Right. There's no difference. The only difference is we have these evil monsters making money on it. That's the only difference. You see, babies are burned alive in these abortion procedures. In fact, there are videos of babies trying to get away from the burning solution, trying to escape it within the mother's womb. Many of their little bodies are torn apart when they're harvesting these parts. Many times that they tear their limbs apart, limb by limb, while the baby's still alive. And they're fighting for their lives. Welcome to America. Pro-life groups in America. And what I'm going to say right now is I'm not going to make any friends If I haven't made them now, I'm really not going to make them now. I'm not going to make them when I get done here. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be gut honest with you. Pro-life groups in America have whitewashed what abortion is in many ways. What they do is, taking the life of an unborn, they have whitewashed the horrific means of how that happens. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm going with here. I'm heading toward. If somebody put out a contract on you, a contract meaning that they were offering to pay somebody to kill you, the person that actually did the killing, that murdered you, is obviously responsible for murder. Do you have any liability because you paid them to kill you? We have a couple cops in here. I got to be careful. But wouldn't you have a little talk with me if I paid somebody to knock somebody off? I think you would. Because you're accessory to murder, if not in some states, you are part of that murder. You see, we want to be politically correct. And I don't know if you all remember this. It was about a year and a half ago. It was when President Trump was running for office. And this guy is, he has no filter. We all know that. One of the things he was asked about was abortion. And several years prior to that, he was for abortion, and some things happened that he made a staunch decision that he was against abortion. And this is what somebody asked him. They said, Donald Trump, if abortion were illegal, should women be punished? The woman that had the abortion be punished? And President Trump said, absolutely. Yes, the woman should be punished. And anti-abortion rights organizations came out and just ripped him apart for that statement. Susan B. Anthony, and I'm familiar with these people. I know them. I know these people well. They are going to absolutely have issues with what I'm going to say, but I'm sorry. Don't say it. This is what Susan B. Anthony came out and said. Punishment is solely for the abortionist who profits off the destruction of one life and the grave wounding of another. And abortion clinics came out again and again and again. I'm sorry, anti-abortion organizations. And so went the usual anti-abortion claims. Outlawing abortion should punish abortion providers, not women. Women have abortions are ignorant victims, coerced or tricked into forsaking their true desire for motherhood by greedy doctors who exploit them for financial gain. You see, we want to remove the responsibility of the mother and place this on the abortion doctor. I know this isn't politically correct, but you're paying for murder. You're paying for murder of your baby.
That's right.
That's what you're doing. And that makes you guilty. Historically, now I'm going to get into politics, Pastor. You ready for this one? Historically, Democrats support abortion. This is what they say. We believe it's a woman's right to choose. Okay, and they go on with other things such as gay marriage and a whole bunch of other things. If you read their platform, I'm not saying what certain ones say. I just read the platform and then I say, as a Christian, can I support that platform? I can't. And I'm really sorry, but that's just the reality of it. I can't. And I'm going to be really, really not political. I don't understand. I can't get my head around somebody that can support that. I just can't. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I don't understand it. It's a woman's right to choose to have her baby put to death. It's a woman's right to choose before that baby was conceived. Now, the Republican platform, they are pro-life. Republicans are absolutely pro-life. We believe that life is sacred, and we're pro-life. I have gone to candidate after candidate, and I'll ask them this question. Republican candidates say, hey, you pro-life? Yeah, pro-life. High five. Fist bump. And then you go on and you start asking questions. Well, what, I mean, would you support making it illegal to have abortions in this state or in this nation? I said, well, I mean, I'm personally pro-life, but I believe that, you know, women can choose what they want to choose. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I'm pro-life myself. See, when you're going out looking for who you're going to vote for, you need to nail this down, because this is what you're going to hear. Time and time again, I'd say, hey, you're pro-life? Yeah, I'm pro-life. Okay, check. The guy's pro-life. Most of the time, not most of the time, but I'd say about 40% of the time, these candidates are not pro-life.
That's right.
They're really not. They'll just tell you that. Or here's another one. I'm pro-life. I mean, I think it's a state's right. I mean, you got to dig for that, but they'll say, I think it's a state's right. I mean, it's a state's right. Well, then, in most of the time, and I'm going to hit another political, libertarians are big on that one. States' rights, states' rights. Okay, I'm good with states' rights. Here's the problem. I went back here. I mean, doesn't our Declaration of Independence say inalienable rights to life? Why is that a state right? And the Supreme Court, by the way, is the one that made a decision on it at a federal level. How can that be a state right now? How does that work? It doesn't work. It's a cop-out. It is a cop-out. You see, I'm not done with the Republicans. Let's see how pro-life our Republican Party has been over the years. Justice Blackmun, anybody know who that is? Justice Blackmun was the guy that wrote the decision on Roe v. Wade. He was a Republican. In fact, the majority who voted the 7-2 decision on Roe v. Wade was Republicans. 60% of judges have been appointed by Republican presidents, and that's federal judges, and they're predominantly pro-choice, or I might say pro-abortion or pro-murder, ever how you want to term it, 60%. And those are the ones that were appointed by Republican presidents. How are we doing, Republicans? Something we should be proud of? Any Republicans in here? I didn't think so. Terry Schiavo, you remember that case? I'll never forget that case. That case just ripped my heart out of Terry Schiavo. Republican judges was responsible for putting her to death. Six of the judges were from the 11th Circuit. They were appointed by Republicans, and they all voted to have Terry Schiavo put to death. Oh, and did I mention this one? Republicans just funded about Planned Parenthood to a tune of about $500 million. Why do I say Republicans did that? Because Republicans control the House, they control the Senate. And the president actually said that I would sign a bill if you guys took that out. He actually said he would do it. You see, our people that we are supporting are failing us. They're failing us. The partial birth abortion that is described, it's where a baby is completely delivered, except it's delivered feet first. So the head is the only thing that's still in the birth canal. And then they will take an instrument and they will shove it in the back of the neck and they will kill the baby. That's what they do. It's called a partial birth abortion. Well, Right to Life groups have spent $250 million, okay? And a lot of it, I got a feeling that some of us, we even donated to $250 million to get this practice changed so it would be illegal. So you know what the new practice is? Here's the difference. We have done away with partial birth abortion. Well, it's the same procedure, except the baby has to be delivered to the navel instead of to the head. And then they do the same procedure and they kill the baby. And Right to Life organizations are absolutely ecstatic that they were able to do that. And by the way, let me ask a question. There's a doctor and a nurse, and there's a mother that's probably put under at this point. Who would know? Who would really know? Not a lot to really kind of, like, how would you even know? Doctor's not going to tell, and probably the nurse isn't. She wants to keep her job. Some nurses have told. While good intentions have been made in place of pro-life organizations, they have lobbied to pass laws in the states throughout the United States that will make it virtually impossible to make abortion illegal if Roe v. Wade gets overturned. Now, let me explain what that means. You're like, wait a second, Randy. I mean, let me explain. You see, the Supreme Court made a decision. No legislative branch passed any law to ban abortion or to legalize abortion until we started coming in saying, okay, if you're not going to ban abortion, then we want to make sure the facility is really nice and clean. Or we want to make sure that this partial birth, I mean, let's get it to the baby's navel instead of the head if you're going to do a partial birth abortion. Or we want to make sure, okay, we want a waiting period to happen. And I'm not condemning any of that. Understand that, because it has saved babies. But what I'm saying is, when you pass a law that says you cannot perform partial birth abortions, I'm going to describe it, what happens is an implied law that the rest of it's legal. So we in states all across the country has passed abortion laws inadvertently because of these things that we were trying to do to curb abortions. And there are Right to Life organizations, there are life organizations, pro-life organizations, that would absolutely get upset if we were to come out and say, we want to ban abortion. We want bills to ban abortion completely. Because one is they're going to lose their funding. I mean, how are you going to keep raising money if it's gone? The other thing is what are we going to do with all these laws that are now in place? How are you going to unravel even a state? If Roe v. Wade got overturned tomorrow, abortions would still happen in just about every state in this nation. And it's because of that. And you're saying, Randy, I'm not really sure of that. Well, law professors across the country has verified that. One of them is Charles Rice of Notre Dame Law School, as well as many other legal scholars have said, absolutely. It's what's going to happen. It's not going to ban abortion because all these states now have pro-abortion laws. It's just that the procedure is a little bit different. What we've done is we have created what somebody actually coined as child-killing regulations. It's what we've actually done. There's a representative, name is Charles Van Zandt. He actually termed out about 2 years ago. Charles Van Zandt, I'll never forget the day I met him. He was asking me to speak at an event that I had hosted. And I didn't know the guy. He said, I'm a Republican. And, you know, of course, all Republicans are pro-life, right? We figured that one out. So I said, sure. I said, let me just ask you, what are you running for? He said, well, I'm running because I want to stop abortion in this state. That is a really, really wrong political statement. You don't say that. That's not how you start the conversation, because he didn't know who I was. He had no idea. But he said something that was the truth, and he did. He fought hard every single legislative session. He would put a bill out to ban abortion, to completely do away with abortion in the abortion in the state of Florida. Every single year, he would put it out. Every single year, Charles had all kinds of pushback. Every single year, his bill never got past committee until the last term in his last year, and it actually got to committee, but it died in committee. And again, this is a Republican House, Republican Senate that did this. You see what, but we will get around some kind of a bill that is a a regulation, but we won't get behind something that says we want this stopped and we're going to pass a law. See, Charles Van Zandt, he understood that if it got passed in the state of Florida, it would have to go through the courts. But we were willing to do that. Let it go through the courts. Let it go all the way to the Supreme Court. Let them say no. But instead, we don't even allow it to go anywhere. This is what we end up doing. Even pro-life organizations wouldn't support his bill. And I looked at his bill and I thought, okay, what's wrong with your bill? I mean, because if a pro-life organization won't get behind a bill, it must be something really wrong with it. And there was nothing wrong with it. He was trying to ban abortions completely in the state. So this is what you say. These regulations we have made, they appear to be more humane, and they have made the voting public more acceptable to the practice of abortion. If I got up here tomorrow and said, hey, guess what? We have banned abortion in this state if you are under the age of 18 without a parental note from a parent. You guys will say, yeah, okay, we're making some progress. But what it's end up doing is all it's doing is it's kicking the can down the road. It's not addressing the issue. And every time this happens, you see that clock? How many regulate? Did it help anything? It helped a little bit. It curbed a little bit of abortions because abortions are going down in throughout the nation. And I think it's more because of the videos that pro organizations are showing mothers before they take the life of their baby. If you saw a video of that of your baby, it's really, really hard because now it personalizes what you're actually doing. You say, Randy, what do we do? Christians across the country are demanding a legislator pass legislation to identify an unborn baby. That is the answer. It's very simple. It's identify an unborn baby as a person. If we, at the state of Florida, they wouldn't have to say we're going to ban abortions in the state of Florida. All they have to do is say we acknowledge in a bill that turns into a law, we acknowledge that a baby, an unborn baby, is a person. Right. When that happens, every part of the Constitution protects that baby because you have now acknowledged that the baby is now a person, which that is the fact, that is the truth, that is the case. And that's pretty much what we are proposing to do is, and it's not just us, but people across the country, Christians, most of them in what I'm going to call evangelical circles are saying, we've got to stop this. We've got to do something to stop this. And this is how we do it, is identify an unborn baby as a person. I'm going to read an excerpt. It's a fictional diary of an unborn baby. And it's just an excerpt of it. It was this very day that something terrible happened. A mean monster came into this warm, cozy place that I lived in. I was petrified and began to scream, but no sound came from my lips. The monster came closer and closer and I kept screaming, Mommy, Mommy, help me, please help me. All I felt was a horrendous fear. I screamed and screamed until I could no longer scream. Then the monster ripped my arm off. It hurt so much. What excruciating pain. And it would not stop. Oh, I begged and begged for it to stop. I screamed with horrific pain when the monster ripped off my leg. Despite inexplicable pain, I knew I was dying. I knew that I would never see your face or hear from you how much you love me. I wanted to stop all your tears and had so many plans to make you happy. Now I couldn't do this anymore. My dreams were shattered. Although I felt inconceivable pain and terrible fear, I felt mainly my heart breaking. More than anything, I wanted to be your daughter. Because it was all in vain, because I died a horrific death. Let's pray.